Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran of Warren, Oregon, on this sixth Sunday of the Easter season. Today I'm preaching from the 16th chapter of John, verses 23 through 33, which read, "On that day you will ask nothing of me. Very truly I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you plainly of the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Yes, now you are speaking plainly, not in any figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need to have anyone question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever listened to a mother giving last-minute instructions to her brood before leaving the house for the evening? "Do not use the stove. Remember to feed the cat. Don't let anyone in the house. If someone calls for me, don't tell them that you're home alone. Get to bed on time. Lock the door behind me. No junk food. And don't hit your sister." Yeah. This is the tone of today's gospel text. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure so that they may persevere and believe that he is who he says he is. He's starting by acknowledging their pain. They are in distress because Jesus is telling them that he is leaving. He's telling them that he will be arrested and put to death. The reality is that they have no idea what pain they will be facing. And part of their pain will be when they realize they deserted their Lord in the hour of his suffering, when the human Jesus needed them the most. But Jesus knew all that day lay ahead. And so he gives his followers the hope they will need. He no more than warns them of the upcoming pain when he promises them a joy that no one can take away. He reassures his followers that God the Father loves them and that God hears them when they call upon him. Before Christ's resurrection, we needed an intercessory to bring our confessions and sacrifices before God in order to be redeemed from the penalty of our sins. And this was the work of the high priest. He would go through a ritual cleansing before entering into the presence of God in the inner temple. The people would bring their sacrifice to him, and he would intercede on their behalf with God over and over again as the people continued the cycle of sin and repent. And then came Jesus. both the ultimate high priest and the ultimate sacrifice for sins. But with Jesus, it was a one-time deal. He died once to cover all sins for all people forever. Yet today's text tells us, I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Jesus is our mediator, but here he's pointing out that through him, we are now reconciled with the Father. The wall that separated us from the Father was broken down on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus is now the bridge that makes it possible for us to go directly to God, the Father. At the end of today's text, Jesus offers up two big promises. What he said was spoken to his disciples just before his death and resurrection, but they apply to all the followers of Jesus, including us in the 21st century. Promise number one, in the world you will have tribulation. That last night in the upper room, Jesus had a lot to say about the world. He said the world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth, chapter 14, verse 7. The world does not give peace as Jesus gives, 14, verse 27. The world hates Jesus and will therefore hate his disciples, 15, verse 18. Christians are not of the world and are chosen out of the world, 15, verse 19. The ruler of this world is judged, 16, verse 11. The world rejoiced when the disciples mourned, 16, verse 20. And now Jesus promises the disciples that in the world they will have tribulation. There will be physical tribulation for many Christians, physical persecution, loss of employment, exile, imprisonment, and more. There will also be the tribulation one experiences when circumstances are beyond your control, when the weight of the world threatens to crush your spirit. Here and in the book of Acts and in Romans, we are told to expect this kind of pressure. Now, when you are not experiencing this kind of tribulation, the promise that you will hardly seems comforting. However, as a believer, when you are in the midst of it, when the pressure of the world is bearing down on you, it's comforting to know that God knew it was coming, and so he's prepared for it. He's ready for it, and he will not abandon you in your time of need, which leads us to the second promise. Promise number two, take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus often told people to take heart. Mark 6, verse 50. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Matthew 9, verse 2. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And in Matthew 9, verse 22, Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. Jesus invites those who follow him to be of good courage, even in the midst of extreme pressure. I do not need to tell you that the world is a mess. There are pain, sorrows, and disasters, too many to count, and some we have not yet seen. At times, they seem too much to bear. And yet, Jesus says, be of good courage. Now, how do we do that in the times when our shoulders are bent over under the burden of woes the evil one heaps upon us? Well, we remember that Jesus totally understands what we are enduring. Remember, Jesus mourned the death of his father. He experienced his family turning on him. People laughed at him. Some taunted him. They ran him out of town. and some told outright lies about him in order to get him arrested and killed. Jesus died witnessing those closest to him denying their association with him. He watched his ministry fall apart before his eyes. Jesus saw the agony his mother suffered because of his life's work. As he hung on the cross, Jesus lost even the closeness to his heavenly Father that carried him through the difficult moments of his life. Jesus endured this and more in order to be able to tell us in our time of need, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." Note that Jesus made this promise before that first Easter morning. His resurrection from the dead stands as a confirmation of this promise. It gives us hope for our own resurrection, and it is the source of our courage in this world. Jesus endured abandonment from his own so that we would never have to endure the same. As one commentator put it, peace is not the absence of tribulation, but it is looking at tribulation through resurrected eyes. Many years ago, there was a movie about a black bear who gave birth to two cubs. One cub died right away. 3 weeks later, the mother died, and the remaining cub was left to fend for itself. An orphan cub in that condition is a walking buffet for predators. And of course, the cameras immediately showed a hungry-looking mountain lion. One day, the orphan cub encountered a giant male black bear. The little cub cowered at the bear's sheer mass. The larger bear peered around and seemed to realize that the mother bear wasn't anywhere to be found. He gave the little cub a gentle nudge. The camera then shows the little bear happily trailing along after the larger one. The adoption papers were signed and sealed in that nudge. Papa Bear proceeded to show the bear how to grub for insects, how to catch fish, and how to scratch his back against a tree. One day, the two bears became separated. The cub began to cry and looked frantically for his new father, but could not find him anywhere. Right about then, the cub looked up to see the mountain lion ready to pounce. That same mountain lion had stalked the cub for the entire movie. There was no way the mountain lion would have gone for that cub with Papa Bear around. But now, well, the camera zoomed in on that cub. He automatically mimicked the posture of his adopted father when threatened. He stood on his hind legs and bared his teeth. Then, in exactly the same way his new father would have done, this cub let loose a mighty growl that should have reverberated throughout the forest. But only a tiny bear cub squeak came out. Yet to everyone's astonishment, the mountain lion lowered his head and ran off in the opposite direction. The camera panned back to the proud little cub still standing tall on his hind legs. And then all the viewers saw what the little cub could not. A few yards behind him, at full ferocious height, his sharp white teeth bared in a snarl, stood Daddy Bear. He may not have made a sound, but he was there. And even though that cub could not see his father stood guard, protecting his young. The little cub had power available greater than anything he could produce on his own. There was a greater power watching over him. No matter what you may have to face in this world, Jesus has your back. He is stronger, and you will endure because of his steadfast love and presence. That is what produces the peace of God that passes all understanding. Thanks be to God. Amen.